As we open the words of Scripture this morning, we're in the book of John. And in the book of John, these words come right after our Easter celebration last week. The women have come to the tomb and noted that Jesus is not dead, but he has risen. And this is one of those first appearances that Jesus makes to his disciples. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven."
Thomas, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, look at my hands, put your hand into my side, no more disbelief, believe."
Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. The Word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Some of you know me, some of you don't. My name is Anita Hahn, and I am the Grand Traverse District Superintendent, and I always say, and I'm part of the Heartland District Superintendent, which I'm hoping you confirmation kids fully understand what a district superintendent is. Don't answer that question right now. But it is my honor and absolute privilege to be here. And you guys are looking at me like, who is this really crazy person? Let them know, Chris, just how cool I am, okay? I wish I could just stand here and talk to you today. And I'm going to, but I'm going to try and include everybody else in that. But the decision you've made today to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior is one not only claiming that you're going to serve the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, but I hope you realize that we are looking to you as leaders in the church. Folks are going to use words that say, our young people are our future. And someday I'm going to get that out of our language, because folks, you are our leaders right now. And as a district superintendent, supposedly I have an important job, I'm looking to you. Because I see in you Christ, and I see in you amazing hope. Today we're walking into words of Thomas. And Thomas is one of those who came with questions and some doubts. And I want you to know, because Pastor Chris is really, really awesome, and you have awesome leaders who've been teaching you, and I know Cam has shared with you every ounce of wisdom he knows about Jesus. And so after today, you will have no more questions. So just maybe even ignore some of what I'm saying today, because everybody else needs to hear it, but you guys have it. Anybody here ever questioned if Jesus really exists? Is there really a God? Look at everything that's happening around the globe. Look at what's happening in our community. And they're going to go crazy with the camera unless I stay still just a little bit. We question. No matter how much we take in, no matter how much we pray, no matter how many really good, Christian, solid, faithful people who are in our lives, we still come to points and say, God, are you really there? Jesus, what does it mean that you are Lord of my life? What does it mean? John says he writes these words, These words in the book of John are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in Jesus' name. Do you know that? Do you claim that? There's a couple of movies that have come out. One, the Case for Christ by, Lee Strobel. I'll get it. If you've seen that movie, raise your hand, or even if you've read the book. Awesome. I need to talk to you guys. I have to confess, I have not seen the movie. We've talked about going. But I talked to somebody who had, and I've heard some of the storyline, but it's all about proving, does God really exist? A journalist, an atheist, married, wife encounters Christ. There's tension in the marriage when that happens. And this man seeks to prove that God does not exist, and he fails. A movie I'm a little more, have actually seen, is the movie God's Not Dead. It's also been out there a little longer. Anybody seen the movie God's Not Dead? Yeah. You know, it's one of those movies, like many, that you go and watch it, and although it's a Christian movie, there's some theology and some things that we have to wrestle with whenever we take in what's being told to us. But in that movie, this young man, Josh, is in school, and his professor makes the class all sign this piece of paper that says, God does not exist. No problem. Let's sign it. And Josh says, no, I'm not going to. And in Josh standing up and saying no, he then is challenged to prove to the class that God really exists. And as Josh does that, he begins to build a relationship. And not necessarily a good relationship, but he gets to know who the professor is. And finally, at that climax of the movie, from the podium in this classroom, he looks at the professor and he says, are you angry with God? And the professor says, you bet I'm angry with God. To which the young man says, how can you be angry at one who does not exist? You ever been angry at God? I want to tell you guys, I know at this point you're too young. You've never had any negative feelings about who God is. And I assure you that there's very few of those negative feelings in this room. But if you're honest with yourself, you've probably even sworn at God. How dare you? How could you? Why? I'm a preacher's kid. My dad was a pastor. My grandfathers were pastors. Here I am. It's been something that's been a part of who I am always. I've loved the church. My parents have been perfect parents, although my husband will let you know that they haven't necessarily been perfect in-laws, but we won't go there this morning. But as I reflected back on some of my early days in faith, I had a hard moment when I was in college. And I was in an apartment and was living on my own, and just as the expression goes, I hit a wall. And I was just really struggling with my faith and where is God. And part of it was, I've always known God. So if I've always known God, what does it mean to not be with God? Okay, this is going to sound foolish and you're going to laugh. But from the bottom of my soul, I said, Lord, for a day, would you leave me alone? Would you just let me be for a day? And in that day, let me know what it means to not have you a part of my life so I can really understand what it means every day that you've been with me and how you've intentionally interrupted and claimed and called me and breathed your life into me. Now, I said my dad was a pastor, and I went home, and maybe you've never had conversations like this when you want to ask somebody a very important question to you, but you really don't want to let them know it's important to you. I did that, and I just said, Dad, I just did something really goofy this week. You know, I just said, look, there's an Easter egg on the floor right there. I said, Dad, you know, I had kind of this crazy prayer with God, and I said, you know, Lord, just for a day, leave me alone. And my dad's a pretty calm kind of person, and he said, you know, Anita, that's okay. God will step back for a moment, but he'll never step back from believing in you. No matter where you come today, in your questions and your doubts and your wanderings of who God is, what God wants to do is meet you right where you are. Right after Jesus was crucified and there was this day of darkness and despair, and early on that first day, women went to the tomb and they never had a chance to doubt because they knew Jesus was dead. They went to the tomb to do what you do after somebody dies, to love and to pray and to weep and to mourn and to anoint and bring flowers. And you know what? Jesus met them right there in their sadness, in their fear, maybe even some anger. And because they went to where they knew Jesus was, Jesus met them there. Do you know people who have it all together and they know all the answers? Yeah, I do too. And you know what's fun is even us who think we know, as we open our eyes to meet Jesus where Christ is, Jesus meets us there. As Mary is weeping, she thinks the gardener comes and it's not the gardener, and she knows that immediately when Jesus says her name. Have you heard Jesus say your name? I pray each one of you have heard Jesus say your name today. There's a pastor I got to hear a few weeks ago, and he talked about the vision of Jesus heading towards death on that cross. And immediately when the pastor mentioned that word vision, I thought, yes, I love it, because unless we know where we're going, we're going to get there. And it may not be where we think God is taking us at all, but with a vision clear, where we know God is calling us as people, as the church, we're going to get there. And this pastor went on to say that Jesus' vision, the reason he was able to go to that cross, be crucified, and feel that pain, feel our pain, take our sins, destroy them, it's because he was ready to get back to the kingdom of God and sit back at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. I don't know about you, but at that point I just laughed. I didn't know what else to do. I thought, do you think really Jesus endured the pain of the cross just so he could go back home? Jesus endured the pain of the cross because he loves you so much. Say your name. Jesus loves me so much that he became one of us. He walked here on this earth with us. He's endured every challenge that we're enduring. He's cried when a loved one's been lost. He's cried when a loved one's died. He's cried when a bomb has hit. And he's danced with us when we've been able to share our stories of Christ with another, and they too have come to know the amazing love of God. Jesus' vision was that there would be absolutely nothing between you and God that would ever separate you again. He took all my sins, he took all your sins to the cross, defeated hell and sin and death so that you and I might have life. John wrote this book where we find the story of Doubting Thomas so that we may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by blessed believing, you may have life in Jesus' name. Thomas, he's in that room with the disciples. You do realize at the point where he says, I want to put my finger in the hands of Jesus. I don't believe that he's really been raised from the dead until I can take my hand and put it in his side where that spear went. I can't believe. I don't know how to believe. You have to know that Jesus has already shown himself to the other disciples. They don't have to question. They don't have to doubt because they've seen. And Jesus has poured his Holy Spirit upon them. But Thomas is one who asks the right questions at the right time, so we too have permission to walk into that space. Early on in Thomas's walk with Jesus, They were ministering in a place far away from Judea, far away from Jerusalem, because that's where people were trying to kill Jesus. And in the time of ministering and serving and hearing about the Good Shepherd and the gate and that Jesus is the door and that Jesus is life, Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick. And then Jesus got word that Lazarus had died. And Jesus is talking about going back to be with Lazarus' family. And the disciples are going, you know, Jesus, you don't want to go there. You can't go there. If you go there, you're going to be killed. You're going to be crucified. No, we're going to stay right here. And Thomas spoke up. And Thomas simply said, where you go, Lord, I will go. I will die with you. Those are bold words from a guy who we call Doubting Thomas. A little later in the journey and that walk to the cross, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and they were sharing that feast. And in that feast of the Passover and remembering, Jesus shared some words. In some of those words, Jesus was saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you so that you will never have to go anywhere alone. But you might know my life always. And as Jesus says, you know where I'm going, Thomas, again, he speaks up. And he asks that question, you know, that's on all of our minds. I'm sure it was on all of the minds and hearts of the disciples in that room that evening. He said, you know, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Can you show us? And Jesus used those words as he shares that he has come from the Father to be with us because as we know Jesus, we know God. In words that we share often, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, life. Thomas exemplifies one who has a relationship with Jesus so deep that he is not afraid to ask the hard questions. He's not afraid to be embarrassed because if I ask this question, somebody's going to laugh at me. And in asking those questions, has found the knowledge, Jesus Christ, claiming and naming Jesus as my Savior, I know is the way to walk into the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is right here on earth. And I know that Jesus is counting on us and you and me to walk that walk. And Thomas simply says, I want to put my finger in the hole in his hand. Give me that certainty. And Thomas does come, and Jesus then says, and he's talking to us, blessed is the one who knows Jesus without seeing, without actually being able to put our finger into the palm of his hand, but claiming the name. There's a young man who's a part of my confirmation class, and he's like, yeah, he was like no other kid. Do you guys know like the most popular kid in school? He was in my confirmation class. Now, maybe one of you are that most popular kid in school. I wasn't. I always wanted to be that cool kid. I never was, never will be. But this young man, he sat through my confirmation classes, and with as much as I'm talking right now, you know I told them every answer to everything. I'm sure he left confirmation class with no questions about who God is, who Jesus is. And yet before he graduated from high school, he was involved with drugs and alcohol. And I moved to a new church and soon got word that he was in jail. A couple years after that, I heard he'd been a part of Teen Challenge, and his mom reached out to me and said, TJ, okay, remember, this was the cool kid. I still struggle at knowing, did I do my best to share Christ with him in that time in ministry? This cool kid wanted me to be at his Teen Challenge graduation. How cool is that? So I went, tried to support him. Wrote a few letters after that. And then the next thing I heard is he was back in prison. And again, my heart just sank. But I prayed that he might know a God, that even in prison he might know the gift of life. I saw his mom a few months ago and she says, Anita, her son wanted to reach out to me again. Would I please, share an address? so that he could write me. And he did, and he shared some thoughts. I want you to hear his words. He says, "I don't question the existence of God in my life, but I do get frustrated often. And it's hard to express because I know how to deal with my frustrations with people. But how do you deal with them when it comes to God? I've been taught that prayer is just a conversation. So can I get mad in prayer? Or has anybody ever gotten mad in prayer? All right, am I the only one who's gotten frustrated, mad, angry? Is that advised? It seems to me that everyone is very quick to point out all the great things. But great things don't happen every day in my life. And this isn't meant as a woe is me, but I see and feel a necessary struggle and hardships all day long. And when I look at the bigger picture, the state of the world, I just want to scream. You created this. How could you ever just sit back and watch everything that's going on happen? Maybe I'm just naturally a negative thinking person, but I know from experience that the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and that irritates me. We highlight people who've made it out of the struggles way more than focusing on the majority of us who are still caught in its web. And Thomas says, unless I see the nails in his hands and put my finger where the nails are, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're on the top of a mountaintop celebrating who Christ is in your life, or you're going through something and that you're really saying, Lord, where are you? I pray that you will open up your soul, that you allow the Holy Spirit to descend upon you, and you will claim the name again, and you will exclaim once more as Thomas did. Because when we search, Jesus shows up. Pray that you will claim in name, Jesus. Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, I believe. Amen.